Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time again, another Das Hobby, Hobby episode. We skipped last week. Sorry for that. I was on holiday, actually. That is our excuse. Marcus and my excuse is that I was on holiday, which is well deserved, right, Marcus?
Yeah. How was your holiday? You were in Jamaica again, right?
No, I was in Tanzania, actually. Tanzania and Zanzibar on safari. Part of it, and the other part was island chilling on Zanzibar. It was pretty amazing. I don't want to go into detail, but I'm a big fan of zebras now and wildebeest, which is like the German Gnu. And Marcus, let me tell you something that I learned on safari. Wildebeest and zebras, they travel together because they have a skill that the other doesn't have. So the wildebeest has a very good sense of smelling, but they cannot remember the good spots where to get water and all of that. That's why they travel with the zebras, because zebras have a great memory. That's how they team up, like you and me.
What I want to say is, remind me on our podcast, right?
Yes, yeah. That's wonderful.
Who is the zebra, you or me? Yeah.
That's a secret. But okay, enough of animals and of us. We have a wonderful guest today who has a very, very special part in our hobby right now. Let us welcome Lawrence from Iconic Trading Cards. Hello, sir.
Hello, Dennis. Hi, Marcus. How are you?
Good. First guest. We are quite international. We had some international podcasts, but the first one, I think, from Ireland, right, Dennis? Is there something?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, yeah. First one from
Ireland. It's an honor to be your first Irish guest. It can only go up from here.
let's decide that after we record. So yeah, thank you for taking time. You have a very special product that's actually coming out today. Can you give us a little glimpse of what is happening today before we get to know you a little better?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. As the planet probably knows, Oasis have reformed and there's a reunion tour. So that was a pure coincidence when it comes to the creation of this trading card collection. Which has been in development for like 6-7 months, or actually longer than that, but actual production 6-7 months. And it's going on sale today at 10 a.m. UK time, which I believe is 11 a.m. German
yes.
time.
Yes.
So, that's the official sale date and time, Friday the 4th. And the email, the website address is iconiccards.ie. Mm-hmm. So IE for Ireland, not DE, IE. So yeah, that's what's happening today is the Oasis trading card collection, the first Oasis trading card collection ever, is going on sale. It contains on-card autographs, Noel Gallagher guitar plectrums, and lots of really interesting chase cards.
So that is so interesting. Like, let me ask the first question that immediately came to my mind when we got in touch. How happy were you when they decided that they're going to go on tour again and that they're going to be a band again?
Well, it was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable. It felt like, not to get too deep, but some type of synergy had happened. I'm a big fan of Oasis. I've been a fan since 1994, 95. And I'm a collector of Oasis memorabilia, you know, and I own actually quite a large collection of Noel Gallagher's guitars and various other types of Oasis memorabilia. And there was just this strange synergy happened. So it was quite meaningful for me as a fan, collector, a producer of these trading cards, for this to happen. It kind of like was a sign that, oh, this was the right thing to do. This the perfect time to do it, and that's why I think it's always important for somebody to kind of follow their gut instinct. Mm-hmm. You know, And I'm very, very grateful and fortunate, you know, so.
This is crazy. I was, before 10 minutes, I was thinking that was connected to each other, but it isn't. So you have the idea and then they come. It's a good, they said they have credit cards now. It's a good idea to come back together. Yes. That was a, it's more like this.
They see my trading cards and thought, okay, it's time.
This is us. it's pretty amazing. I'm happy for you that it worked out the way that's so amazing. So can you guide us a little through your passion for Oasis? So when did it start? Mm-hmm. Why did it start? What do you love about the guys?
Oh yeah, it started back when I was a teenager in the 90s. So it just started basically from hearing their music, and at that I was like 15 years of age, 16, probably 16 years of age, actually. So it was around 1995. And I was starting to smoke and drink alcohol and things like that. So it was perfect timing for Oasis. And I've always been a collector since I was a child. And the reason I'm a collector is because my father was a collector. My sister was a collector. She collected movie memorabilia, and my father kind of collected Star Wars toys and antique cars and whatever he was interested in. So collecting's been in the family. So whatever I had an interest in, I collected something to do with it. You know, as I'm sure you two understand, only too well. So I naturally, when I was 16 years of age, I started collecting Oasis records, and I was trying to track down concert posters and autographs. And but back then there was no internet. There was kind of an internet to a degree, maybe not that early, but you were buying magazines and looking through magazines for shops that were advertising records for sale, and then you'd have to call them and talk to them over the phone. I never had any money, so I would call these places, and because I wanted to buy something so badly, but I had no money, so I would call them and talk to them and find out what's available, but I could never actually buy anything. So that's what happened, like, in the early days of Oasis back in 1995-96. But prior to that, back in 1994, when the World Cup was in America, somehow Upper Deck trading cards for World Cup 1994 made their way to Ireland. And I collected Upper Deck trading cards. And the quality of those cards were very high standard. You know, they're really, really beautiful collection of cards. And I absolutely loved buying those cards. So when I was 14 years of age, I was importing cards from America over to Ireland. So that's where I kind of got a proper introduction to trading cards of a good standard, you know. So I kind of then went on to collect X-Files trading cards, and, you know, I was interested in Star Trek trading cards and whatever, you know, took my fancy at the time. So that's kind of a bit of an idea of how now, like 30 years later, I've created a trading card collection. It's because it's my origin. It's where I originated. It actually made perfect sense. The trading card collection was like, oh, this is the vehicle that will encompass everything that I love. You know, scarcity, you know, rare items, one-of-one items, the chase, you know, trying to find cards. It's just kind of in this nice, neat package. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, to be a collector and now to finally, like, it comes full circle, right? So this Oasis product, is that the first product of your company Iconic Cards, right?
Yeah, it is indeed. It's the first product. Yeah.
Oh, nice. First. Okay.
Yeah.
So you start very, very high.
Yeah. Well, you know what I was kind of thinking, you know, because you put your commercial hat on and you're like, what would be a good thing to make for financial reasons and profit? But from my experience in business, I always found that that's a very difficult path to take, because if it's not connected with your passion, at least at the start, it's very difficult to continue. So I just thought, well, it's obvious the path of least resistance is to do an Oasis trading card collection, because that's my area of expertise, you know. And I'm in the community, the Oasis collectors community in England and Ireland, which is very a very good, honest community. And I learned a lot from being in that space. You know, it's actually where I got the idea of creating this collection. It was, I noticed that collectors were primarily purchasing product on the secondary market like eBay, but they were purchasing secondhand items, which probably have passed through multiple people's mm-hmm. hands. Like, who knows how many people owned a vinyl record before John bought the record. So mm-hmm. I then also noticed that Oasis weren't actually releasing much collectible products. They were just mm-hmm. releasing like the odd reissue, you know, every couple of years. And then besides that, there was really nothing. So people were, the collectors were reliant on collecting old collectibles mm-hmm. because there was nothing really new in the market. So that's when I thought, I think an Oasis trading card would be the perfect solution to this kind of issue that seems to exist for most bands, I think, for most mm-hmm. bands.
Can you tell, because if you go to the website, you give an insight also what you could find in this, and you also mention some of them, like this guitarist. I forget
correct.
The name.
Yeah, the guitar plectrum. So
and autographs. How mm-hmm. was then the process to get all this stuff to the cards? Because yeah. and design. How do you get to the designs?
Yeah, yeah. It was. I learned so much from the process. So, I have good connections in the Oasis community. There's a friend of mine who would organize autograph sessions with the Oasis band members. So he helped me get in touch with Tony McCarroll, the drummer, mm-hmm. and Tony signed around 400 cards, on card autographs, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And also the photographer, James Fry, who actually took the photographs for this collection. I had spoke to him before. I purchased some of his prints, Oasis prints. Mm-hmm. He did a photo shoot in November 1993, the first official photo shoot, which is the basis of this collection. And the photographer supplied me with original photo negatives mm-hmm. And contact sheets from the photo shoot. Nice. So we cut those up. Coincidentally, each of the contact sheet photographs were numbered 1 to 36. So I've created a serial numbered collection of 36 cards with the original contact photo embedded into the card, and the serial number matches the serial number on the Kodak.
Amazing.
So I thought that's a cool little detail.
That's so, amazing detail.
Yeah, yeah. So nice. Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. Like the rights, like of course, like licensing and all of that stuff. So you got the picture rights from the photographer.
Exactly.
Mainly.
I got the picture okay. rights with the photographer, and like the, you know, with the first collection, I was kind of saying to myself, well, I just need to get the experience of making a collection. So it's difficult to kind of approach to go down the official license route when you have no experience. You don't, it's hard to do a deal with somebody when you don't kind of know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I thought I needed to have at least one trading card collection done. So then I can go and say, look, you know, I can be confident about what I'm talking about. I know all the financial details. I know how much it costs to produce. So, yeah, I did a deal with James Fry, the photographer, who was really, he didn't really understand trading cards. So he called me and he was like, what is a trading card? So I had to explain it to him. But he's a very creative person. So he was like, okay, yeah, I get it. And then I was trying to explain to him about the, I suggested the contact sheets and the transparencies. And he was like, what do you want them for? So I explained, I cut them up. And then he was like, yeah, that's fine. And he was really accommodating.
Cool.
Very accommodating. Yeah.
That's amazing. So it's also such a creative way. So, but are you that person like who has an idea and then okay, I go for it, I execute the idea? Is your DNA?
Yeah, I would be. For sure. Look, and you probably often hear people saying like fail fast, that kind of thing. But it's not always easy to fail fast. Mm. Sometimes it takes time.
Yeah, fail slow.
Fail slow, exactly. I started up, I have another business called Rock Solid Investments, where mm-hmm. I specialize in very rare music memorabilia, like mm-hmm. guitars owned by famous artists, costumes owned and worn by famous musicians. So this type of kind of memorabilia is in my wheelhouse. Okay. So when I was looking at like sports trading cards with match worn mm-hmm. jersey patches, I was like, oh, well, I can track down musicians' clothing. That's what I do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a kind of skill set or some resources on my own that I could apply to the trading card world.
Nice. You know?
Yeah. But the production and design of a trading card collection, that was completely new. Yeah.
I can imagine.
That means this guitar stuff is from your collection as well? So
yeah. No, is anything from my collection? No, not from this collection, no. I had considered taking some guitar strings off the guitars, but I thought that would probably cause a lot of bother to a lot of people. That I took something off an important guitar, so I decided not to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's so amazing. I was always thinking about it. Like if you do trading cards with like musicians or bands or something, you're really skipping a lot of the problems that you have in the sports world with the league has some rights and TV stations have some rights, and like of course photographers have some rights and then the teams have some rights. I think it's like way more complicated than to actually get out a music or a band trading card, because I think especially in that day when they started, like I think record companies were not thinking about, okay, we need to have the rights for the pictures too, for everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where the sports world would be a lot more clued in when it comes to the commercial side of things. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think, especially now with Tops and with Fanatics and Tops and Panini, like that market is so well developed, you know, whereas there's other markets that aren't as well developed. But the benefit of the sports trading cards is that you have a team that will always exist and the players can change, but you'll always have Manchester United, you'll always have Argentina and Germany. But with a band, that it's different, that there's not a league every year. The band members may change, but it does just slightly different dynamics, which makes it less possibly long-term with one band. Like you mightn't be able to make an Oasis collection every year for eternity, but you could make a Manchester United collection every year, probably forever.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of difference. But then there's enough bands and artists out there and movies to satisfy, you know, like to do for the next project. So I've no worry about, you know, what to do next. There's plenty of
is there something already in your mind behind
there is indeed. Yeah, I have another piece of synergy happened. I probably can't mention it though, because I'm in talks with a big licensor, I suppose they're called, and for movies. I'm looking to do some movie collections as well. So I'm going to try kind of operate in the music, entertainment,
nice
world. Yeah, yeah.
What do we need to know about the collector scene in Ireland?
Oh gosh, the collector scene in Ireland. Yeah, I suppose it's like it's still at its infancy, I suppose. When you compare it to America, mm-hmm. you know, or somewhere like that. So, and then Ireland is such a small place as well. You know, it would be a smallish community compared to other countries, you know, just due to the population of the country. Well, what's the population in Germany? Is it like 80 million?
82, something like that.
Yeah, you know? In Ireland, you know, it's 6 million or something like that. So it's tiny compared, you know, to the rest of the world. So, but there's a great Irish podcast, Soccer Cards United. Mm-hmm. I think it's called off the top of my head, which I listened to. Two guys, you maybe you've come across them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a good Irish podcast. So that actually goes a long way to help people know of the Irish trading card community. They actually host a trading card show once a year. Which is actually quite impressive. Their first trading card show was really of a very high standard. You know, I think that's important when you want to kind of make the right impression, you know. So yeah, the trading card community in Ireland is healthy, but it just wouldn't be as big as.
But is it easy to get to get cards, or do you need to order it from England or somewhere else, or is it there shops where you can go in and buy these Upper Deck Tops cards? Or
oh no, there'd be no shops really. You could buy anything in person, not the type of cards that you and I and all deal in. So there wouldn't be any bricks and mortar shops you could walk into. There would be. Those guys, Soccer Cards United, have an online shop.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be one of the main suppliers in Ireland for sports.
Okay. But your cards, you ship international, right?
I ship international, yeah. Yeah, not like to every country in the world, but mainly focusing on the UK and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, yeah, for various reasons, just logistics and... Yeah. Practicality, customs, import taxes, all that, you know, all that good stuff that we love. Yeah. So I'm trying to make it kind of simple for me for the first collection, because I don't want to like overcomplicate it. And then I also want the path of least resistance for collectors who are purchasing, you know, but unfortunately it means that, you know, certain countries I may not be able to deliver to. But what I've told people on my website is, to contact me and let me know. And if I get enough people contacting me from a certain place, then I can look into shipping to that country.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I'm pretty much shipping to the UK and Europe.
Mm.
That's where I'm at, you know, which is quite a big...
Of course. And you have, it's limited, right? 1,000 boxes you have? Or
yeah, it's limited to 1,000 boxes. So, look, you're kind of... throwing something against a blank wall and seeing what's going to stick. How many boxes do you produce at the start? So I was going to produce 500.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last minute, I just thought to myself, I was just like, I think that's just too low of a number to allow any, like if everybody bought four boxes, only a handful of people would get some boxes. So I doubled it. And I thought it's reasonable. It's not a huge number, but it's a decent amount,
I
you know.
Think so.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I don't know. You are more deep also in the Oasis community. How is that interest for cards that I could?
That's a very good question. That is a good question, because I was aware that there's some people who had never really heard of trading cards, you know, and. Didn't understand the concept.
Yeah.
So when I sent an email out last week to everybody on the wait list, I've a few thousand people signed up on the wait list. So there's a lot of, and Dennis
is one of them.
Dennis was the first person on the wait list. So there's a lot of people on the wait list. I sent the email out and I said, if you have any questions, just reply. And some of the replies were, questions around, you know, the size of the cards and where, you know, questions around, you know, they just didn't understand what trading cards were. So I tried to explain as best I could, But leave the decision up to them if they wanted to purchase. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't want to put anybody under any pressure. And yeah, so does it, like anything, does it, for some people who are new to trading cards, does that whole experience of doing your research and getting your head around what's what, you know, because you get some people have the attitude of, oh, it's just a piece of cardboard. Why are you charging so much?
Mm.
But it's not just a piece of cardboard. There's a lot of work goes into designing, doing a deal with the photographer, all the design and all the pieces of memorabilia. And, you know, and that, for me, it goes back to those days when I still do purchase Upper Deck trading cards, and the standards that they have, just kind of, I wanted to make sure that these were of a very high standard. That was really, really important. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't have sold them to the public, you know, because, you know, if I wouldn't buy it, I wouldn't offer them to somebody else. And I can genuinely say the quality of the cards are, like, they look really, really high end.
Mm.
They look really high end. So I think people will be really pleased with the quality of the cards.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
I think what helps also to get more in this, if you don't have connection to card, is this limitation. Because if someone is in the collecting general, they know, okay, it's not every, I get not all collectibles unlimited. So, but this, I get in this. And also when you have this guitar thing in the card or the autograph, I think this kind of thing, oh, what's this? So, and then they start thinking about the product and the trading cards. I think this helps to go in.
Yeah. Because I think, yeah, what you're touching on is that there's elements that they definitely understand,
mm-hmm.
but they're in a different context compared to usual.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's funny with trading cards, because you can have if somebody had a patch off a jersey in their hand with a certificate, it's just not as interesting as a patch that's in a trading card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And when it's encased in a card and it's designed very well and serial numbered, it's just, when something's nicely packaged like that, collectors really, really like that, you know, because it just makes it more official. And yeah, I think it's easier to trust as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what would you say? What are some of those items that people from the music community or music fans collect the most? Is it tickets? Is it concert tickets? Is it records? Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, so from my experience in the Oasis Collectors group, mm-hmm. which is on Facebook, so if anybody's interested mm-hmm. in joining that, just go to Facebook and look for OCG, Oasis Collectors group. And what you'll find is that within that group, there's about 1,000 people, and each person collects, like, has their own focus. So some people will collect concert tickets. Other people are looking to get every version of the vinyl record in existence. Some people collect CDs, others concert posters, others autographs. And then, of course, everybody collects a bit of everything,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you'll have these different pockets of collectors that collect specific areas. So I think in general, the most popular collectible with music would be vinyl records.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, will be the vinyl records.
Yeah. What are some of the iconic pieces in your personal collection where you say, okay, this is really something I would have never thought I'd get, or this is close to my heart, or I have a very special story how I got this piece?
Oh, yeah, good question. Let me see.
Besides the Mr. Brainwash picture in the back, of course.
Yeah. I think for me... like the Oasis collection was really important to me, because when I was younger, I couldn't afford to buy those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only looking for concert posters or records. I didn't have the money. And then fast forward into my 30s. And because I set up this business dealing in music memorabilia, I then could indulge in buying Noel Gallagher's actual guitars that he owned and used. And I managed to get a hold of pretty much all of the guitars and all used to record Oasis's first album, Definitely Maybe.
Mm.
So they would, they, and I actually sold them recently. I sold them at an auction. I sold them at an auction. So they were the my most prized possessions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I decided to let them go because, yet again, I was following my gut instinct. I decided to let those guitars go because I was too attached to them. I was too attached.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you can relate to this. And I wanted to detach some of that attachment because and let put it into my trading card business that I created. And the guitars did sell at the auction, and the trading card business is about to launch, you know. It's launched already today.
Now it's launched.
So I did get a sense of relief of letting those collectibles go and now becoming a producer of collectibles. So I think that was the transition that's just after happening from collector to producer, you know. So, and that feels really, it feels really good.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, also the story that the production of those cards are partly financed by a guitar from Noel is
that's actually a good point. Noel pretty much financed these cards. That's it, Dennis. Very good.
Yeah. I mean, and then he had to get the band back together to buy some of the cards, probably. So
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, he can't afford it.
I mean, it all comes back to the Oasis trading cards.
So I'm familiar with Oasis. I like the songs. I also liked some of Liam Gallagher's solo stuff a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, like, and he to me is one of the few real, I mean, he says it himself, rock and roll stars. When this guy gets on stage with this FU attitude and just like he's when he walks to the mic, he's just like, okay, what's going on here? What is this? Okay, let me do my thing. But it's just still, he's this aura of this guy being on stage is, it's incredible. It's incredible. I remember there was this, when Ariana Grande had this terror attack in Manchester.
Oh, correct.
He was like a surprise guest there. There were Black Eyed Peas and Justin Bieber and like huge stars. But then he was there like as a surprise act. And when this guy went on stage, you're just like, okay, all the other artists can like, okay, goodbye. Like what? It's weird. What about this guy? What is happening?
Yeah, I know. He has this aura of cool, and he does his own thing, and he's a lot of attitude, and everybody wants to walk around with that type of attitude, especially when we were younger. Especially when we were younger, because most times we probably didn't have that attitude. But Liam Gallagher had it. And by being an Oasis fan and listening to Liam Gallagher sing, you kind of got to rub shoulders with somebody who had that going on, you know. Yeah. So you got a little bit of that attitude by being a fan of Oasis, you know. Which is fantastic when you think about it, that one person can, which is one human being, can touch so many people in that way and give them probably a bit of confidence and self-esteem. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's really incredible. I mean, Oasis was huge also over here in Germany. And I think the German
they
fans.
Didn't come to Germany, right? I just checked the tour agenda for next year, but I couldn't find any German concert. Oh, did I?
Oh, no. I'm surprised. Yeah.
No. I mean, they start in the UK, right? And then what's next? Is North America next? Or
they start in the UK, and then they go to Ireland for two gigs. And then the tickets for America are going on sale or have gone on sale already, I think, this week. So, they're going to North America. And, yeah, I didn't really check the American tour schedule because I'm in Ireland. So
why would you?
if they play the Sphere in Vegas, I would go over.
Okay.
I would go over.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I have. I went to see you too.
Okay.
Guys, have you been there?
No, but is it that impressive as I probably think it is? Yeah.
It's like being in the future. It's like you're like, oh, actually, no one like technology comes out and it's you know, it doesn't quite hit the mark. This is like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's nothing you've ever experienced in your life. I went to see you too. So I would highly recommend if there's a band that you like that are playing in the sphere to go and have that experience. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everything I saw about it online, I was like, if this is only a quarter of what I think it is, that's more than enough.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's incredible, man. It's such a wonderful story.
I just want to ask one question, last question about the when you have this collectible stuff from Oasis, mm-hmm. is there any authentication service they use usually, or is it also like GSA in the USA, or how is it then working?
For which parts?
Sorry?
For which parts exactly?
For like guitar stuff, for example.
Music
music memorabilia. Yeah. Not really for unique pieces. There's not really any, like I've sold the last guitar Prince ever used on stage. I've sold I'm just about to sell one of John Lennon's guitars that he used in Austria back in 1965. And there's no company on the planet who authenticates those types of pieces.
Okay.
You know, so at the moment there isn't, and maybe because there's just not enough. It's not like the sports memorabilia world. Mm-hmm. You could get things photo matched. That would be kind of the only service you could try use, but there's no dedicated music memorabilia authentication. When it comes to authentication, I've decided that any item that I purchase, the provenance needs to stand up on its own 2 feet. Like a lot of the pieces I've sold in the past, they come with video footage of the artist reading the serial number out of the guitar, signing the guitar, and playing the guitar. So you're like, any rational human being will be able to say, okay, that's enough evidence for me. I don't need a third party company to come in and stamp that, but it would be nice to have a third party company there that does do that type of authentication. I wanted that in the past because I thought it'd be nice to be able to provide a certificate, because a lot of people do want a certificate of authenticity from a recognized, trusted third party authenticator. So that's the long answer to your question. It's pretty much no, except for autographs, which can be authenticated by PSA and Beckett and so on.
Cool.
That's amazing.
Yes,
I love the story. I love this story that it came full circle, like for you as a collector, as a fan, that you're now a producer of those Oasis trading cards. Like, I love those stories.
Yeah. We had this fan already kind of fan situation in this podcast. We had a Michael Jackson collector who get really everything from Michael Jackson. Really,
yeah, he was also like one of the fan club presidents when Michael Jackson was still alive, of the Michael Jackson fan club, and had direct connection and all of that.
Oh, to him
from Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was also very, very connected. And he also has like a Michael Jackson secondhand market, like he buys like all stuff that he finds and resells it and goes on shows and resells it and everything. Also very, very interesting story.
Was he on your podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. When I'll have a
I'm gonna send to you that. I'm gonna send you the episode. It was one of the earlier episodes.
That brings me to the there was no trading card until now for Michael Jackson, so
There was a trading card. Topps did do a trading card collection for Michael Jackson back in the 80s. Actually, I don't know if you know this, but Topps had a manufacturing factory in Cork in Ireland. for a long time. So most of the cards, Topps cards that were sold in Europe were printed in Ireland.
Okay. As you say that, I think I read it on some of those Topps cards, like printed in Ireland. I was like, why?
because for tax reasons.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah.
They only finished working manufacturing cards here probably like a decade ago or so. So okay. Not that long ago, you know, when they stopped.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. Yeah, like the music collector scene is really, and the music memorabilia scene is something else. I mean, because like, I think it is also, maybe it's not more emotional than those sports collectors, but it's still, it's interesting because music like touches your heart in a different way to me personally than if I watch a game. Like it's a different emotion. I cannot really explain it. Yeah. But I think it's an amazing idea to do iconic cards with Oasis, and I'm looking forward to the next stuff you already have planned out.
Yeah, well, I'll give you the heads up privately, then I can also, when I can officially announce the next collection, I can come on your podcast or something. Man.
Anytime.
Yeah, that'd be always fantastic. Welcome. Yeah.
Always welcome. That's amazing. And Marcus, we need to make a trip to Ireland now. I mean,
you have an excuse? Yeah. It could be a work holiday. The Dublin Trading Card Show is happening next March, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you could always come over.
It's also good. Then I can give the ticket flight tickets to my tax account.
Exactly.
It's also good.
Yeah.
Marcus actually is the host of one of the biggest German trading card show, the German Card Show in Frankfurt.
Yeah. That's correct. I've seen your website. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations on putting together.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It's a 2-day show. It was in October. August. Mm-hmm. Around 4,000 people. It was the biggest show now in Germany.
That's amazing. Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was that the first show?
No, it was the second.
Your second.
So
okay.
We doubled the people. So mm-hmm. we last year it was 2,000. This year it was 4,000 tickets we sold.
That's a big jump.
But we could sell 6, I would say. So it's going bigger and bigger. And but in Germany, the market also in general, it's growing. We have also here some beside Topps and Panini, also some. They were also in our podcast Ultimate Drops.
Drops. I was checking them out yesterday. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
They have a long collection about the basketball World Cup winner. Now the second collection with them, also with signature from the teams. Mm. So there's also a market since years going up in Germany. Of course, nothing compared to US and Asia, but it's also quite big.
Yeah. I suppose basketball would have been bigger in Germany than a lot of other places. So that makes sense. You have some experience with trading cards because the American influence of basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they did the right thing because when Germany became like basketball world champion, like that gave us a big, big run on those cards. And I think that the German, the DBB, the German national team is doing a good job also connecting with the fans and with the collectors. And they really give stuff. They give jerseys, they give basketballs, they give like real memorabilia to those guys. And they're not as complicated as sometimes football teams are with their stuff. So
you can kind of get closer to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing against you, Marcus. Don't take it personal.
That's true. I give everything.
Amazing. Yeah. So, guys, just to sum it up, you have all the links in the show notes that you need to have about Lawrence and his company, Iconic Cards. Oasis Drop is out now. Go flood them with emails, flood them with orders, and make sure that Germany and the rest of Europe is getting a lot of the Oasis.
Hmm. stuff. And if anybody has any questions, just drop me a message and, you know, I'll answer every single email that I receive.
Uh-oh, Marcus. Marcus. Don't send Lawrence all those emails, okay?
So thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good time and peace out to Ireland.
Yeah, peace out to Germany. Thanks, Dennis. Thanks, Marcus.
Ciao.
Bye. Thanks.